Greetings, Mr. Arrow. This is our discussion group in Yangon. We have formed a little association for the advancement of Vipassana meditation and propagation of Buddha's teaching. So our meeting and our associate usually meet together on every Sunday, and we meditate. After meditation, we discuss the problem regarding to the meditation and some other Dhamma matters. So today also we are meeting together, and I present your letter to my colleagues to understand about your questions. I tell him that Mr. Thomas Well is the county court judge in Gainesville, Florida. He started meditation in his country and United States. He got the instruction or the guidance from my friend, Dr. Tintamien. So he is working well with his work. So he mentioned that after meditation, he had a colors, purple, blue, and green, and then brown, when he closed his door on concentrating and meditation. You see, this is a good sign for the meditator. So our explanation is like this. When someone meditates on the object, any kind of object, or as well as usually we meditate on the breathing in and breathing out, and so on. So when someone is meditating, he is closing his doors of perception, five doors of perception. At the same time, he also closed the nine doors and opened only one channel for the meditation. So when he closed down the doors, and then the mind by meditation increasing gradually the tranquility. The tranquility increases stage by stage. When that stage, tranquility reached that starting stage, the colors appear. So this is the, for somebody, it takes very long time to have such kind of coloration, perceiving of the colors. But as for the Mr. Elwell, he got it in short time. That means a good sign for his progress. See? So this is the meditation, the nature of the happening of the this progress is like this. The mind, when suddenly concentrates on meditation, gradually become peaceful, and then it is increasing the tranquility, and then gradually increasing the degree of tranquility. So when it reaches certain stage, the external, the stimulation, they are very strong in terms of sound, in terms of sight, and many kind of stimulation, provoking the mind at ordinary time. In the channel of mind also, many sorts of the thinking, emotions are also disturbing the mind. But when someone is meditating, he tries to keep it, these worries and anxiety, as well as the thinking and disgust with mind, as well as the all other stimulation getting down lower and lower. When they become lower and lower, the degree of tranquility increases gradually. When it reaches certain stage, so this body and mind have the internal energy. This is called the intrinsic energy. This intrinsic energy is weaker than the external energy impressing on someone's mind. So that intrinsic energy hasn't got a chance to show itself as the in form of light, in the form of light. So the process is like this. At the ordinary time, the external stimulations are strongly impressing on the mind, ordinary person mind. When the meditator meditates, all the external sources are gradually closed down then internal energy increases. That internal energy, intrinsic energy, show in the form of light. That means the sign of the increasing tranquility and concentration. That is very good sign for the meditator. That is our explanation like this. And then Mr. Elwood likes to know some more about the nature of his mind. He asks that after meditation, he likes to do it very seriously. His mind is inclining in this direction. So he likes to do what is the nature of his dhamma and the past life, what he has done and so on. The explanation for this question is like this. We know according to our traditional belief, every human being has lived a long and series of lives before the present life. So Mr. Elwell also lived a series of lives. But the first thing is he might have lived series of human lives. That means in our way, more than the human life, there are heavenly life, heavenly beings, human beings, and besides the human being, other living beings also happen to be in our samsara, in the series of life. But as for him, he might have a series of human life. That is the first point. And the second point is, when he had those lives, he might have meditated. He might have taken the meditational course in the previous life. That is the second point. And the third point is, whenever he had a chance to meditate, even in those previous lives, he took them very seriously, not lightly. So these are the happening. And because of this, the accumulated force of habit of dhamma, his dhamma, now at the present moment, making him to lead in this direction of meditation. And then when he started his meditation, it also showed the sign of good progress. Within a short time, he got the kala to see when he meditated. So that is the potential he got since he has accumulated previous life. So that is the explanation for us why he is so seriously wants to get advancement of the spiritual wisdom in this lifetime. So this is the explanation of our way. So he has accumulated a good, very good dhamma for promotion of his wisdom. And then he asks again, he likes to get the meditation, the advancement of meditation. What can I do to advance without greed my meditation? How can I develop my meditation? And so on. This is the natural desire for the meditators. See, as soon as he get into that track, he likes to get advancement in the meditation. Likes to know more. That is natural. But see, meditation is one kind of training for our mind, one kind of training to channelize, to increase our tranquility, and then to get our concentration. That is the method of meditation. So it will show itself, its own progress, gradually in time. We cannot go very fast. We cannot expect the advancement leaps and bounds, because this is the process of nature. Nature means nature of mind, each and every individual's mind. And most of the people, we ordinary persons or commoners, are always engaged in our life. This is social life. Social life means the ordinary way of life. We are living that way. So, we are trying to get out of the daily life or usual life and walk on the new path or new line. That is another line for the advancement of our knowledge, our wisdom, our intellect, to know more something, what actually life means to us. So we are asking the question by ourselves to know more about our life. Now, Mr. Elwin has a good, very clear idea. He says that, I know I am not the body, but I am struggling with the discursive mind, and I'm trying to meditate. So this is direct line. And when we start the natural path of the development of our mind through the meditation, we have our system. That is, according to our Buddhist system, everybody has, everybody knows this formula. That is called the Eightfold Noble Path. Eightfold Noble Path, we usually recite like this. Sammādhicci, sammāsankappa, sammāvāca, sammāsammantha, sammāsīva, sammāvāyāma, sammāsati, sammāsamādhi, and so on. These are eight factors for the promotion of our wisdom in the line of meditation. So the first point is, the first stage is sammādhicci. Sammādhicci means the right view. We must have the right view. That is very important, because without having the right view, we cannot have the right way of thinking. Therefore, we must start with to have the right view. The right view means what? View upon our life, upon our existence. So we must have clear idea or clear knowledge of our existence or our life. So according to our teacher's explanation, so our life or our existence means two continuous functions. They are physical function as well as mental function. Physical and mental functions are correlating and cooperating each other, and they are continuing on and on. This we call it our life. So when we take this kind of basic concept, so we know that we don't have any other idea of concept of I, self, or ego. They are not the reality of life. Reality of life is the only continuation of mind and body. Previous time, we usually say that mind and body going together. Now today, the scientists, especially physicists, they replace the word body with the word inner being. So now today, we usually express this thing like this: mind energy relation and functioning. So from the point of view of the observer, these two continuous functions are going on and on. So we will the questioner may ask, where I and self stand. Because since we were born as a biological being, we have no knowledge of anything. But gradually, by socialization, the term socialization means interchange between the individual and society. Society gives him the education and the individual learns from the environment. So primarily, he has to learn the language of his home, of his mother tongue. So learning the language, he has to use the term I for answer, you for the listener, and he for the subordinate, and so on and so forth. In every language, this is essential to use I, you, and he. So this is only for the purpose of the exchange of the ideas and views from one person to another. That is the process of language. But it takes more than that. Psychological body taking the term I and itself, gradually absorbing itself, forming self and the idea of ego or the self-centered nature, increasing gradually while going on and on in the society. We call that process of the socialization going on and on. The individual learn more and more from the society. So, the nature of I or the nature of self increasing by itself through the processes. So, he takes it for granted there is I, there is self. Because without self or without I, he is not easy to communicate with his associates or with his surroundings. So he just lives like this. That is the way happening in commoners nature, the common people life. But in actuality, in nature, when someone wants to know the reality of life, just like a scientist who is examining about the structure of atom or nature of energy or something like that, objectively analyzing the subject, he has to be free from any other preconceptions. So also, in our meditational process, we are trying to know more about reality of life without having any preconceived ideas. So we try to see it. Finally, we know that life is continuation of two functions, mental and physical. So physical side, we usually introduce the function of energy. So mind and energy are going on and on. We can explain at this stage like this. But this is the view. This is the view what we call it. Without having self, without having I, but the continuation of mind and energy only going on and on. This view on life, we call it, that is correct, view, or the right view. So, when we have that view at the first stage, that is samadhi, we call it, based upon this view, we try to rationalize about the problem of life, and we try to solve these without having I, without having ego, without having self, and so on. This process of thinking based upon the true view of life, based upon samadhi, and we increase our steps and think about these things, think about nature, think about reality of life. So that is called samasankappa. Samasankappa means thinking correctly. So when we are able to put into the practice or making the habit of new way of thinking, without I, without self, with our ego, we try to solve the problems we encounter in our daily life. This is the second step. So, when we have that kind of nature, that kind of habit, new kind of habit, so when we talk to the other, we have the different way of expression. That means not the old way of telling, that is new way of telling. That means we don't have to communicate the other people verbally, unnecessarily. Unnecessarily, what we mean is, for the benefit of the advancement of knowledge, or for the benefit of myself as well as the other listener, so I try to economize using of my words only for the advancement, or only for the benefit of both sides, both parties. No other words are necessary. That means usually common people has to talk in many ways. That means to increase his personality, or for the prestige, or many other ways to gain the material wealth or so on. These are not the essential point in the process of communication or talking or exchange, verbal exchange. So we took the new pattern of talking. This is free from the egoistic expression and talking. This is called samawasa. Similarly, when we are walking, and the walk, the direction and intention of our walk, for the benefit of the people, and for the benefit of my own also. But this benefit is for the promotion of our wisdom, our knowledge, and to reach the final goal of enlightenment. So, we only do for these things which are related to, for the promotion of our daily life. For this only we work. We are trying to reduce the overburden set by the social work. So, we change our way of doing. This is for Samasamanta. And then, next stage, when we have the way how to speak and how to work properly for the advancement of our enlightenment, and then for the livelihood, the right livelihood, it is Sama as it were. That means we are not engaged in the selling of the arms and firearms or silence or poison to giving the other people harmful action. So we try to avoid. That is the traditional way of the Sama as it were. And that in this the present time, in this century, so many kind of jobs we have to work in the different profession. So we are working properly, not hurting the other people, not destroying the harmony of the society, and giving the only benefit to the people for our livelihood. So this is called what is our right livelihood, and so on. So when we live that way, and then the work is our effort. Our effort means the right effort. The right effort means for myself, for my family, for my country, and so on, I will work, but that must not be harmful to the others and not harmful to myself. So, that is also directing to the path for the promotion of our knowledge in the line of the enlightenment through the training of our mind. This is called the right effort. And then, the right awareness. That means the samasati. The right awareness means whenever we put our question to answer, we encounter in our daily life, We base upon the fact what we have selected, the new frame of reference, new way of the concept, and then we try to aware the process of our mind, which is going along the right path or deviating from that path. So we try to put it on the right path, always aware of our own process of mind. This is called right awareness. And then finally, right concentration. Right concentration means we need concentration to solve the problem, the intellectual problem, for the promotion of our wisdom. We need a lot of concentration, therefore we meditate. But that concentration also must be correct concentration or in the right direction. That means selfless, no egocentric mind. So this is our right concentration. All these eight factors are really important and essential for our promotion of our meditation and our advancement in our life. So when we know about roughly all these things, all these basic factors, how we can go for the advancement of our life. Advancement of our life means for both sides. See, living properly in harmony with our society, the same time we are trying to promote our knowledge, our mental quality higher and higher to reach the final goal, to get the enlightenment. So now we have the way of living gradually changing. As for Mr. Elwell, he has started the meditation, we call it a middle age, at the age of about 41 years. So that is very good time to start for meditation as well as for the advancement of the higher knowledge of mind or wisdom. So we must have a clear idea where we are walking, how we are going to walk, and so on. So at the very beginning, we are ordinary person, commoner in this line of training. So gradually we'll improve. But I like to tell one example or one short story relating to the advancement of our knowledge. You see, it is like this. There are two kinds of person. One is ordinary person, the other is the specialist. Specialist and ordinary person are quite different. So specialist, he has his own specialized training, and then he has the discipline. So ordinary commoner has also his discipline and his daily life. And then mostly we know that what is and what are the do's and what are the don'ts. And we have to follow do's and don'ts set by the community, set by our society. We try to follow the norms or the normal way of life accepted by our society. This is the discipline for the ordinary person. But when it comes to a specialist, he has his discipline, and that discipline, how we follow and how the ordinary man, how the commoner follow, is quite different. As for the commoner, he has the do's and don'ts only. But when it comes to the professional, that is a quite different thing. That is not do's and don'ts. That is the must and the mustn't. See, what he must do and what he must not do. The quite clearly the specialist sees. Now, when we come to that stage, see, we are easy to see the specialist in our daily life. For example, airline pilot. You can see that specialists, airline pilots, as well as the sergeants and engineers and so on. So they are specialists in their field. So they have their school of training how to improve their knowledge within their own times to be a sergeant or to be an engineer or to be an airline pilot and so on. We can see it quite easily. And then when he becomes a professional and he becomes a sergeant or engineer, he is a different person. His knowledge is quite high and he knows his own profession, what to do and what are the disciplines he got to know, and he knows. And then what are the must and what are the mustn't. So I like to show me, I like to tell one short story about the specialist nature and about the discovery of tubes. So I'll explain one thing here. We are the people trying to get the stage of enlightenment. We are trying for the advancement through the meditational training and many other ways to improve our internal capacity of our mind, to know more about ourselves, finally to reach final enlightenment. This is the way we are walking along the path of meditation. But in this case, not like sergeant, not like engineer, we don't have the training school and specialization school. We have to go on by our own training, talking with the other people, those who know about the subject matter, and we train ourselves, and we have to go on that way. No specialized school. So that is a different setup. And then the specialist and commoner way of walking, quite different thing. So one thing what we have to have in our mind is the starting from the commoner stage, gradually we have to go up to the professional stage and the work of meditation. If we are aiming at the reaching the goal of enlightenment, final enlightenment, wisdom, absolute wisdom, clearly everything, so we must have the professional discipline, professional status, and professional way of working. So from the commoner stage, we are trying to advance to the professional stage in the process of meditation. That will be long way for some people. That may be not very long way for the man who has potential, what we call a paramita, and accumulation of knowledge and experience in the previous life. If we have higher, we will have a shorter path to walk up. So I will tell one example, one story. This is like this. Here in our country, a lady about the middle age of 40, she was suffering from blindness. She got lost seeing. So she went to the ophthalmologist about to know her eyes. So ophthalmologist examined thoroughly about the nature and the structure of her eyes. Then the specialist replied that her eyes, both eyes are complete, perfect, and intact. Nothing was wrong. But she couldn't see. So the specialist suggests to go and ask the neurologist. So she went again to the neurologist. And neurologist examined the situation about the disturbances with many instruments, X-ray and many other instruments and so on. Finally, the neurologist decided there is something wrong in the nerve nervous system that is in the optical nerve, which is joining from the eye to the visual center. At the interval, there is something wrong or some fault happening. So the neurologist tries to find out where the fault lies. So finally, the neurologist explained that the place is at the pituitary gland. The optical nerve passes over the pituitary gland, but that pituitary gland is not normal. It has a tumor or outgrowth. That tumor is present on the optical nerve. Therefore, optical nerve cannot send the message from the eye to visual center. Therefore, she could not see. So, she has to wait for the time to do that. Fortunately, a specialist neurosurgeon came to this country from Great Britain, and then neurosurgeon, and then she went to that neurosurgeon and sent the detail of what happened to her eyes. So after examining the case history of the blindness, neurosurgeon agreed that that is the cause. So she requested to operate for that. So the surgeon accepted and operated. So as you know, this is the operation of brain, especially for the pituitary gland. Pituitary gland is a small thing like the size of a pea, in the center of the brain. So to get out or to be able to see the situation and pituitary gland is also very difficult. But as a specialist, he did it every possible thing, and he tried to take out the brain and then see that. And he saw that the outgrowth of the tumor and the pituitary gland. So, take out that pituitary gland, disturbing the optical nerve. So, if the process is perfect, that will be alright. But taking out the tumor from pituitary gland is very, very delicate process. Not like any other tumor in the muscle also, not easy. So what actually happened is like that. When the surgeon took out that tumor from the pituitary gland, that operation disturbed the breathing center, disturbed respiratory control center. See? So, respiratory control center stopped functioning, so the patient has no more breathing. So, finally, the patient died. That is real happening in our country. So, what is this out of this episode? The specialists are very, very important. So, do be thorough in his work, the knowledge of the work. So, now here, the specialist must have the knowledge what must do and what must not do, and when must do and when must not do, and why must do and why must not do, and how must do and how must not do. These are very important things as for the specialist. See? So, specialist knowledge and specialist work are quite different from the commoner knowledge and commoner's work. So, this is happening. So, what I want to tell the similarity of our job, our work. We meditators, at the very beginning, we will be a state of commoner. When we try to improve our knowledge gradually, more and more. But at the stage of commoner, we cannot expect final enlightenment. We have to go on and on to reach the stage of a specialist in this profession. When we are trying to get to the stage of professional meditator, that will take long time because we cannot train ourselves just like a sergeant or just like engineer or just like airline pilot with the continuous training and continuous lecturing, following and practice and so on. So our work and our nature of training is different. So we have to be patient to promote ourselves to reach the stage higher and higher. We will not be able to know how far we have been perfected ourselves to be a professional stage because we have no examiner to examine our stage. See? So we have to be ourselves. We are the trainer and we are the same time training and we are the examiner and we are the self-examinee and so on. So we have to go on carefully and slowly but continuously without break. We go on so and so. But if we follow these Eightfold Noble Paths carefully and systematically, we are sure finally we will get the goal of enlightenment in this life or next life. If we try to follow completely what the discipline and the necessary factors set up for our self, that means each and every individual has different potentiality, different way of faculty and ability. So he only knows his own nature, his own inclination, his own desire, his own intellectual advancement. So these are the factors for the promotion of our knowledge and our experience to reach our goal. So we have to be careful about our work to be continuous. So at ordinary time, that means when we are living in our society, most of the time we have to work with our professional jobs and at the same time we devote part of our time for promotion of our training, our experience, we meditate. So that the meditation is the only path we can go for the advancement of our experience and our knowledge or our condition. See, this is the question. For the promotion means not knowing only. See, the knowledge is only to show the path for the advancement. But actual advancement means we have real experience or real promotion of our habit. That is very fine and very delicate thing to distinguish between our ordinary old habit and new habit because of our training and our mind, training of our mind. So we have to walk up gradually, and we must be patient for our work and do, because we have to devote both for our daily life and our responsibility and duty to fulfill our family and other society, and for our job. At the same time, we meditate, doing both works at the same time. But if we do it gradually and continuously without break, when we have our time, that means we must have a proper set time. For example, whenever we got up in the morning, we meditate for a short time, say about 15 minutes at the beginning, and half an hour, and then advance to 1 hour, and so on. When at night time, before we go to bed, we meditate, say half an hour, and 1 hour, and so on, gradually improve our way of training, and so on. And then we should go, or we must go, continuously. So, to clear up, to know exactly the cause of our blindness, why we are existing, and then why we want to exist, that is the important question. Naturally, our mind has the desire to exist. So, those specialists sometimes used to express that way. The desire for existence is very, very strong. It can be substitute the word just to live life, just to exist. That is very strong desire. So this mind, why so much desire to exist? Because we do not know exactly the functions of existence, how these are functioning, why these are continuing without stop. So that hindrance, not knowing about the exact nature of our existence, the function of our mind as well as the body, physical body. So because of this ignorance, making us as a blind man walking in the samsara, one life, one existence to another existence, and so on. So to cure our ignorance or our blindness, that we don't know why we are so attached to this existence, this is the primary factor to solve the problem. The first thing is to know the knowledge. The second is to cure up or to drive away this ignorant mind. Or that in reverse, when we keep everything completely out, this ignorance and the impurity, the enlightenment comes. So we are going on and on our way. So these are some points we have to know as a fundamental concept and fundamental knowledge for our meditation. And then the other things Mr. Elwell likes to know, that see what are the mantra other words, I have to utter for the promotion of the our spiritual power, to promote our spiritual wisdom. What other words shall I utter also on? Mr. Elwell wants to know this. I have my own training in this way. I utter the words, not the mantra, but this is what we call the radiation of our loving kindness from our heart. So it has to start with fatherly uttering his words. So at the very beginning, I have to start with my own mind and body. So what I say is, may my mind and body peaceful and healthy. May my mind and body be peaceful and healthy. May my mind and body be peaceful and healthy. I utter very softly, and then sometimes without words, just only and mind, repeat this word. That is the first step for myself, because genuinely I like peaceful mind, I want healthy body. So this is my sincere and pure desire for me. So I try to utter this word. May my mind be peaceful. May my body be healthy, and so on. This is the first thing. Similarly, I compare myself with the compare with my immediate surroundings. So my wife, my son, my assistant and housemate, and all the people living around me under the roof of my house. Each and every human being, they also like to have peaceful mind and healthy body. So I sympathize with these people. So I say that my wife may be peaceful mind and healthy body. May my wife be peaceful in mind, be healthy in body. In the same way, my son and all other people, and so on. So this is genuine me, love, that my loving kindness. I compare myself with these people, and then I try to increase my power of love, my power of loving kindness in my heart, the way I feel for myself and the way they feel for themselves. They are the same, because they are the same living beings. They like to live, they like to exist, and then they like to have their peaceful mind, they like to have their healthy body. So I pray they be healthy, be peaceful. Not only our immediate members of the family, I try to extend to the surrounding, the people living around my area, each and everyone, be healthy, be peaceful in mind, and so on. And then try to extend again the circle of my love and my kindness to the people living in my town. Every individual living in my town, be peaceful in mind, be healthy in body. Everybody living in my town. And then I increase the circle and my state. The people, every individual living be peaceful in mind, healthy in body, and so on. And I increase to the boundary of my country, everybody living in my country, be peaceful in mind, and be peaceful, and be healthy in body, and so on. And then I try to extend the saga all over the surface of Earth, the people living on the Earth, every living being, including human beings, as well as the any other living being, be peaceful and healthy. So, I gently utter my words every morning and every evening, so very softly at the very beginning. And when I get this kind of uttering repeatedly and genuinely, I convey my love, loving kindness to every individual. So I feel quite peaceful by myself. And then the area or the way, the direction, I usually radiate, not only this way. For example, I have been walking with my colleagues in my department, and every individual, now they are watching and they are services. So my old colleagues, my friends, and all our professionals with me working together. And I also extend to the old friends as well as new friends, each and every individual, be peaceful and healthy. So these are the words I utter every morning and every evening. So these are the essential things for promotion of our mental quality by extending our loving kindness. So this is real force of mind, because this mind always engage in all other social matters and all businesses. They are always busy, the mind is functioning, but no time or even a single moment to think about the welfare of the other people, for the healthiness, for peaceful mind, or for happiness of the other people. Actually, we need it, because I myself, I want to be peaceful, and every individual also likes to be peaceful. So I have to train my mind, first and foremost, to know about my mind and my physical body. So this physical body wants to be healthy. This mind wants to be peaceful. So I really want to be this state. So every individual also wants it. So I try to extend genuine love of my own mind, increase the area, giving to my friends, to my family, to my fellow beings, and living in my country, living all over the world. So I try to increase, because this is directly supporting our mental faculty and our meditation. Meditation is, as you know, concentration of mind and preparing the tool to solve the problem of our to reach the goal, final goal, the enlightenment. But between the enlightenment and presence, there are so many obstructions and so many problems. To remove or to solve this problem, we prepare the tools to keep them out. So this is one tool for us, the radiation of our loving kindness. So the strength to increase our meditational power and to overcome the obstruction. So this increase our power of loving kindness. We practice this way in our country. This is called the radiation of metta in Bali word. So this is also very useful and very good for our daily life. So this is one part we have done in our life. See? And then I like to explain another subject in the question. The question you ask in your letter. So this is dealing with the Dhamma. This is also one important matter to discuss. So there are many ways to interpret about the Dhamma, and this is oriental concept of Dhamma, and many religions like Hindu and Jain and Buddhist all believe in Dhamma, but the interpretation of Dhamma is different in different religions. So I was born and brought up in Buddhist atmosphere, so I know the interpretation in Buddhist way of Dhamma. So the Dhamma, the term, actually means action. So there is the three forms of Dhamma: mental action, verbal action, and physical action, and so on. These three are defined as the Dhamma. So how these Dhamma are working in our daily life and in our existence, the whole existence, and in continuous existences in samsara. So this is very long way and very wide subject to discuss, but I will try to explain within the range of my knowledge to make you clear. So this is the Dhamma, how it is working. We need the example. Dhamma is continuous function and continuously supporting the individual. So this kind of Dhamma is called the supporting Dhamma. See how it is supporting. We need an example. See, we have a very common example in our room. As soon as I switch on the light, and the light box comes out and light it. So the process is, as soon as I switch, the electric current passes through the filament inside the light bulb. So it comes out in the form of light energy. So light energy is visible, we can see with our own eye, but we cannot see the electricity, the current of electricity running through the wire and through the filament. But exactly, it is the main cause to give the light. So electricity and the light are continuously going on. As soon as I stop or switch off, so the light goes off. That means no more electric current and no more light. That is the relation between electricity and light. Now in this case, Electricity is the cause, and the light is the effect. So, cause and effect are continuously connecting and supporting. Similarly, as body supporting karma and its effect. Supporting karma is the cause, and there are many effects. So, I will give you another example similar to this, the previous one. When I open my eyes, I see. That is very, very common experience for every living being, for every human being. Seeing. See? So, when we analyze about the nature of seeing, the physiologists and physicists, they explain in their own way. We know that the light from the source, maybe the sun or maybe the electric box, the light energy falls on the object. The object absorbs certain wavelength and reflects certain wavelength. So we see the different colors. So these reflected lights come to our eyes, passing through the pupil and the lens, fall on the retina. And then there is a focus point that is called the fovea. Inside fovea, there are other cells. These cells are, according to their shapes, they are the rods and cones inside the retina. These cells are photosensitive. As soon as the light energy falls upon the cells, they take light energy and change into chemical energy. Chemical change. This chemical change transforms electricity, and this electrical impulse from the retina passes to the optical nerve, and then optical nerves carry the electrical impulses to the visual center in the brain. These are the processes, and the brain cells or neurons workhouse according to their own action, chemical and physical action. That means electrical vibration, impulses, and so many frequencies per second, so many electron volts, and so on, in each and every brain cell at the visual center. So these are the processes going on in our physical body in relation to our surrounding. So surrounding, supplying the object and light energy, and the eye receiving the energy and sending the message in the form of electricity to the brain. These are the functions. So these are quite clear for the neurophysiologists and physicists. They are quite easy to explain the works of energy, physical energy. So, the very eminent physiologist called Sir Charles Sherrington, he explained like that. We scientists, neurologists, physiologists can tell every detail about the functions of electrical energy in our system. But this is the only knowledge we have, as much as our instruments explain us about the electrical energy, about the functions of this physical energy. But beyond that, when it comes to the stage of seeing, this is quite a different matter. different region beyond the reach of physiologists or physicists' present knowledge. So, we physicists or physiologists cannot tell about the nature of seeing as much as we can explain about the function of neurons or the function of electricity. So, there are two different fields between physical and mental, or mental and energy function. So, when energy function comes to the stage from the light to electricity and the brain cells, it's one complete function. And then when it is coming as the form of seeing, that is different thing. Seeing as a common experience, we don't think it is very, very important or very, very difficult to know. What actually seeing is, it is very difficult to understand. Seeing is not physical energy, not electricity, but it has its own quality. Seeing is real, but how it is working, what actually seeing is, it's not easy to explain. It's a wonderful happening, wonderful thing. Just like the electric bulb and electricity, two functions of energy are relating to each other. So, when the discoverer of the electric bulb and electricity, supply of electricity, Mr. Edison, as soon as he found out the light out of the filament, he was quite happy and wonderful to know about electricity can transform into light. So, in his state of mind, that wonder is very great. This is the source for advancement of knowledge, understanding about the nature, physical nature. So, need the same kind of wonder is necessary to know about the nature of seeing. See? But in our Buddhist way of interpretation, seeing is the function of mind. Seeing is the function of mind, just like the light. And this seeing occurs with the support of supporting karma. See? Supporting karma is continuously supporting to get the mind in the form of seeing, to be able to see. This is the relation between present supporting karma and seeing. We think that we usually interpret only this way because there is the light and there is the completeness of I when they get contact and we can see it. We don't see the nature of the karma continuously supporting to get that different quality, special quality of mind, that is consciousness, to be able to see the consciousness of sight. There are two words, see? Consciousness and sight. Sight is the image created or supported by the physical energy sight. But to get the consciousness, this is the mental or psychological function. This function or knowing or continuous consciousness is possible because continuously supplying the energy by our supporting karma, therefore we get the consciousness. This consciousness interprets in terms of sight. We call it seeing. Similarly, when mental energy coming into our ear and transform into sound and the electrical energy and the audio center, and then we get consciousness of hearing. See? Consciousness of hearing. So these two words, consciousness and hearing. Hearing is the nature of words, the nature of sound, supplied by the electrical energy, by transformation of sound energy. So this is the function of physical body. When they are completely doing their job, when it reaches to the region of mind, it becomes consciousness of hearing. So consciousness is happening because of continuous supply of karmic energy or karmic force. Supporting karma is giving energy to become, to have a consciousness. So supporting karma is the cause, and consciousness of hearing is the effect. So in our Pali word, this is supporting karma, it's called the karma, and the consciousness of hearing is called vipaka. Vipaka means the result and the effect of the karma. So to understand the nature of karma, at the present moment, continuously one direction, one channel of seeing and changes to another direction of hearing and smelling, tasting, touching, cool or hot, of sensation, and so on and so forth. These are the things through the doors of perception, the continuous function of the mental faculty or mental functions are going on and on. So from the physical side, this physical body, biological function, producing the energy in the form of electricity, in the form of light, in the form of heat and so on, is the supporting. And then parallel and continuous mental function, since the very, very beginning of our life, it's a going on and on like physical body. See, I have to explain another stage and the nature of the conception we call in our word Sati Sandhi. So now I am explaining the nature of the karma and the resultant vipaka or the resultant phenomenon of consciousness. That means consciousness of seeing, consciousness of hearing, and many times. So that consciousness is continuously appearing and disappearing because of the supporting karma. It's like if the electric current in the wire continuously going on and on. As long as there is electricity, there will be light. Similarly, as long as there is supporting karma, there will be consciousness. This is the way we look upon the function of present supporting karma and our consciousness. So this is for the vipaka vodha. This is the resultant of sakit. Resulting subject. This is the present situation. And then I'll go back to the starting point of our very existence, the present life. Besides the subject relating to conception, embryology explains details of the conception. We know that from the mother's side, the ova, and from the father's side, spermatozoa and sperm. So when they fuse together, at the very moment sperm gets into the ova and forms new points of setting for new individuals. that is called in our words the pizza D. That means conjunction of the old and the new. It's conjunction pizza D. So that is the moment of conception, the starting point for our life. So at that stage, the embryology explains in terms of the function of genes and so on, chromosomes. So inside the ova, the chromosomes are combining the string of the chromosome from mother side. This is called at the stage of the ova and sperm, they are gametes. When two gametes meet together and form a new combination, that's called zygotes. And so during this process, very complicated combinations are occurring. So one example, for the determination of sex, male or female, the geneticist explained that way that from the mother side, the genes or the chromosomes, X chromosomes, and from the father side, and another X chromosome combined together at the junction, at the starting point, have determined for the formation of female. But when it happened like that, X chromosome and another type, Y chromosome, joined together and determined to form a male. And so on. This is the explanation of the geneticists and the embryologists. And they are joining or combining by chance. They found it that way. But from our point of view, these processes are actually going on and on, but not they are joining by chance. So, in our way of thinking, we have that the forces of karma. Forces of karma is like the field of magnetism. The field of magnetism. I have to explain one example. The magnetism has a field and line of direction. And so, one, maybe free electrons, when they are in the free atmosphere of free space, they may be moving haphazardly in any direction. But when we put the electrons in the field of electricity, the motion and the direction of the electron are determined by the magnetic field. They have to follow along the lines of magnetic field, and their speed also determined by the potentials of magnetic field. So there is controlling force or controlling energy for the flow of electrons. They are related to each other. Similarly, when we look upon the conception, these genes are going haphazardly and joining each other and having any kind of form of a human being or any other animal. So they have the colors of hair, the color of eyes, and the nature of sex by any chance it happens. So this is the explanation and taken by the embryologist or biologist. But from our point of view, not like that. Just like the magnetic field is directing the electron to flow in a certain direction with a certain speed. This electric field is the controlling factor. Similarly, S4 individual C might be Sama. This is called the creative Sama, different from the supporting Sama, creative Sama. This creative Sama is just like the magnetic field overwhelming around the area, and at the time of conception, these are guiding or controlling how these genes to combine, for example, to be a male or to be a female, is not by chance as seen by the biologist, but from our point of view, this field of creative karma is controlling the whole pattern of the new being at the moment of conception, how to join, see, each and every part of the chromosome properly in their own way. So this is the detailed works of karmic force. This is creative karma supporting them. At the very moment of conception, the biologist sees only the function of ova and spermatozoa and the chromosomes and DNA and workings. But from our point of view, at the very moment while these chromosomes are busy to combine each other and finding correct partner and so on, these processes are from physical side. And another thing quite different from the physical, that is mental. See, one kind of mind, see, that is a moment of mind. That is, we can call it consciousness, but it has one quality for the continuation of the mental faculty throughout life. It has started the same moment while these chromosomes are working at inside the ova, then at the same time the moment of the mental faculty, the seat of mind, also started the very moment. So these two, physical function and mental function, for the long process of life, the seat of mind started. This is the result of karma, support the creative karma, new element, quite different from the physical, but that is real, that is the seed of mind for continuous function. It will grow on and on according to the time, just like the physical body is growing, so mental body is also growing along the life of that individual. This is the way we look upon the functions of Dhamma. Now we have to distinguish between two types of karma. One, at the very beginning of our life, that is the creative karma, control over the charge of creation on the physical side as well as on the mental side. You see, these two are going continuously throughout the life, but starting point, the creative karma has supplied every detail for the whole existence. Every detail means biologists usually look upon the function of the genes. Only that, when you have set of genes, the gene will determine, the gene will give the cook orders for the formation of new cells, and for and every organism, for every organism, so for the So, at the beginning of our life, the biologists explain in terms of the genetic process, every genes are the determining factor for the formation of cells and organs and so on. So the genes create new cells and new sets according to their codes. This is the biologist explanation. And from our point of view, our explanation is not only physical type, physical as well as mental. So when we look upon the grown-up person, he has two functions, mature, well-grown, physical body, and he has the mental body. And then we analyze the nature of our physical body. We know that we inherited some character from the mother's side and from the father's side as well. But we also have our own new form of character or appearance. And then the same way in the mental side, the faculty of mind is also different from one individual to another, although they may have the same source of training and learning. They have different capacity, different ability. So these are the factors what we can see the nature of creative karma as soon as the conjoining process is taking place at the moment of conception, not only physical body but mental body. So supply required energy and required capacity, ability, and talent and entirely depends on the nature of the conception, while the moment of conception is taking place under the control of the creative karma. So the creative karma is very, very important for the being. So that creative karma is very good, very clean, and very strong. The resultant existence will be a good existence from the physical side as well as the mental side. Both will be going on very well. But if the karma, creative karma, is weak and not strong enough, there will be a defective function of physical body, or defective part of the physical body, or defective part of mental body will occur. That depends on the nature of the creative karma. So we divide roughly the good karma and the bad karma. The good karma has the good faculties to support for that existence to function properly and healthily. So this is the way we interpret the functions of karma at the very beginning, the moment of conception, by virtue of creative karma. This living being started, and during the time of existence, while he is living, continuous supporting karma is also helping him any kind of function. That means continuously supplying to be able to form the proper set of body. For example, we have these sensory organs. For example, the eyes, the ears, and so on. How delicate these optical what optical system the eye and the optical nerves and the key thing. How do you identify? The physiologist knows very well. These are very complicated functions of the molecule DNA. These DNA are functioning, joining, following the order of the and the genes. So physiologists seem that way. From our point of view, these sensory organs are properly functioning because the guidance or the control of the good supporting karma all the time helping to get that proper formation of new cell and new NAD functions and so on. So not only these delicate instruments are controlling or supporting by the present karma, and then mental side also receiving the support of its supportive karma in the form of consciousness to be able to get the consciousness of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and so on. These are going on and on. So this is the point where we are seeing the functions of the natural processes, mental side and physical side. Now, this resultant product in the form of consciousness of seeing by virtue of supportive karma comes into existence function. But there is a follow-up. There is a follow-up in the form of my mental function. As soon as the being or the person seeing the sight, interpret in the form of person or in the form of nature of the shape and the body, and it is a house, this is automobile, this is the man, this is the name Mr. John, and so on. So the following mental process are based upon the resultant consciousness of seeing. So this following consciousness or following mind are working according to our background condition. Since we were born, mental body has been conditioned by our surrounding, by learning, by increasing knowledge, language, and so on. These are the factors, determining factors, to create another stage of mind based upon seeing. Seeing is one stage. This is the product of the physical function as well as the karmic function come into existence as a consciousness of seeing, but following mental movement or mental process, taking the shape of the personification, process of personification. For example, after seeing the man, he take it, the image into the person, and then he remember the name. Not only that, after seeing the person, look back his past experiences of the nature relating to that person, and then reflect again. That means this reflection is another form, not like the consciousness of seeing. Reflection based upon the consciousness of seeing is different mind, different process of mind. This is not like seeing for me. Seeing is just a neutral function. It hasn't got any force of mind, just only consciousness of mind can support the following mind to work out its own way according to its own background mind, its own reflection. So as soon as the person, the seer, and the threat, the image of seeing in the form of a friend or fool, see, when he remembers the past experience of relation of that person, he is not my friend. He has done or he has destroyed my benefit or my prosperity. He is not a good person. He is my enemy and interprets continuously. As soon as this interpretation occurs, follow the feeling of anger, the feeling of angry mind, of hatred. This is not like the consciousness of seeing. Consciousness of seeing itself has no force, it is a neutral. But when it becomes the state of anger or the state of hatred, it possesses the energy. It possesses the energy. That energy is creator of karma, new karma, that angry mind. See? So that is the moment as soon as the mind creates that form of anger or hatred because of the past experiences and past conditioned mind to reflect that way upon getting the image of seeing interpreted that way spontaneously. So when that forceful mind creates new karmic form, new karma, and another way also we have that. This is the bad side. But when we see our friend, the friend who is beneficial, very beneficial to our work, good associate, I feel happy and I like. So this is also new form of mind based upon the image of seeing. So this kind of mind also has the energy to create new karma. That kind of karma, if we can call it good karma because of the good feeling in our heart. So these things are going on and on. And then I'll tell a new form. So when the person is very intelligent and very keen in searching for the truth, he tries to train his mind and what certain object, and he meditates. That meditation is also the mind increasing the faculty of his potential. That means he is looking upon the object. That object of seeing or the object of feeling, according to his meditation, may be supplying as an object or as an image. But upon the reflection of this perceived image, he is using his intellect to improve, to know more about the nature of mental function, the nature of reality, and so on. So this kind of mental movement has very special faculty and very special energy to promote this karmic force. So when someone has done repeatedly in previous lives, one life after another, going on the kind of this path, following this channel, to improve his own internal faculty and internal mind to know more about nature of mind, a function of mind, and so on. So this is increasing the faculty of Dhamma. This Dhamma is very, very useful when it has a chance of appropriate time to support that individual. That Dhamma will take place every possible means. That means the subject will be very keen to follow the line. That means to meditate, or he will have very strong desire for the promotion of his wisdom, because his accumulated forces of habits and dhamma are present at the very moment to lead in this direction for the promotion of wisdom or meditation. So this is working the relation between previous karma and present working process of our mind. It's going on and on. So when we can analyze the way of the function of both physical as well as mental, and how these two functions are going continuously on and on, we now clearer and clearer the views what are the essential works, what we must do or what we should do in our daily life, which is important and which is not very important, to use our time, to use our talent, to use our training in the direction. So when we look upon our life clearly with the views of reality, seeing the functions of mind and body, so we know that we are always engaged in our society, because we are part of society. Society is contributing many, many things for our welfare. We are also in return contributing to our society. So we are bound up with the functions of society and individual. We do not have time to see the reality of the functions of our mind and our body. So some intelligent person who has the potential of good karmic forces previously accumulated in the previous life, he has the chance to think about the reality of life and distinguish between the nature of the function of social life and special life. Special life means seeing the reality in special way. Seeing the reality in special way, we call it vipassana, seeing special way, because we are used to seeing our daily function in our daily life as a common and a normal function. That way of seeing is just normal, but quite different from the daily functions of our life. Just looking into our body and our mind with the special knowledge and with the talent, we are seeing that this is called special way of seeing. This special way of seeing is called vipassana. And when we repeatedly this kind of seeing, this kind of training, we call it meditation. And when we are able to increase our faculty of mind in touch with reality and promote our Dhamma. Our Dhamma means our work at the present moment, what we are doing. This is Dhamma. This Dhamma is increasing our vitality, and that will promote. And finally, we know that it will reach to a certain point to give us enlightenment. This is our way of interpretation of our present life and our relationship with our past Dhamma and with the present Dhamma, how mental faculties or mental functions are going on and on, and physical functions are going on and on. So, only very rare means on the surface of the planet Earth, now today, nearly almost 5,000 million of human beings are living. They are born in their different societies, different culture, different background, and different faith, and different denominations, and so on. So, they try, and they struggle to live. And according to the pattern of their society, they don't have the chance to see into life as a real function, reality of life. They don't even have desire to look upon life, how this is functioning. They don't want to know. Just they want to live with social function and set aside the society. That they want to walk on the normal life. That's not wrong, but they have no desire. But only a few person have the special faculty. That means special karmic force previously accumulated in this direction of touching the truth and touching the wisdom. So finally, to enlighten himself by his own work. This is very rare chance. So when we realize that we have, or I have, the opportunity of seeing the truth through the realistic way, through the correct way, correct path. So what I have explained, Eightfold Noble Path, starting from the very beginning, to have the right view. The right view means how these mental functions are going on and on, how these physical functions are going on and on, and how these karmic forces, creative forces, and supportive karmic forces are supporting for the existence, and the present moment also increasing the background mind, the potentiality, the conditioning again and again. That conditioning in normal way is leading to live and to enjoy life, to live with society, but only for a few, those who have that special faculty, that special karmic force to walk outside the normal track. This is a very, very special track to examine the reality of life, how these life functions are going on and on. Wants to know with his own intellectual mind, with his own experience, who he is, trying to improve himself in special way. That is very rare chance. So when someone has accepted on this very special path, we can say he's very, very lucky to be that way. So, what we have to do is, don't lose sight, be patient. The path is long, the way is long, full of blocking things. Many other things are blocking our way, but we must have the knowledge how to remove this obstruction by way of training, by doing our work regularly, so we will improve our life. So that is the way we interpret our life. So I hope you will have some idea out of my lectures and nearly almost 2 hours now. So it will help you to know more about yourself as well as your meditation, about your mental function and so on. The thing is to be well aware of the function of our mind moment to moment without losing sight. We have to know how I am thinking, how I am interpreting, how my mind is changing, how my mind is going, in which direction it is leading, and so on. If we pay attention to our mind by our inner faculty, directing to the right direction. So this is the way to increase our potential faculty for the attainment of final goal of enlightenment. So I think it is our way of life we are doing. So I hope this will help you to some extent. And we will try to exchange our views in coming times. I hope this is the time for us and to continue our work living in a society as a good member of society, doing our work as a dutiful person, as a family holder, as well as we are working, using our time very cleverly, taking out of daily life for promotion of our wisdom. Meditation is very essential work for our life. So this is our lecture. Agree with our friends here sitting in front of us, and they are also listening this lecture, so that will be useful to you and some other person who are interested in this line may be useful. So please do convey my loving kindness to the people living in the United States, my friends. So this is our lecture, and then I pray for you for peace and happiness in every way of your life and every walk of life. So I try my best to explain to you about the nature of karma and about the nature. That is our lecture, Mr. Elwood. Thank you very much for asking and sending a letter to us. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.